This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
Hello and welcome. I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, March 12th, 2021. Registration is now open for the 2021 HamSci Workshop, Friday and Saturday, March 19th and 20th. The theme of this year's workshop is Mid-Latitude Ionospheric Science. The University of Scranton will serve as host for the Zoom virtual event sponsored by the National Science Foundation. The program will include guest speakers, poster presentations, and demonstrations. The workshop will also serve as a team meeting for the HamSci Personal Space Weather Station project, funded by an NSF grant to University of Scranton Physics and Electrical Engineering Professor Nathaniel Frissell, W2NAF. The project seeks to harness the power of an amateur radio network to better understand the effects of weather in the upper levels of Earth's atmosphere. The workshop's keynote address on the history of radio will be delivered by Elizabeth Bruton, Curator of Technology and Engineering at the Science Museum of London. She will discuss the history, science, technology, and licensing of amateur radio communities from the early 1900s to the present. See the HamSci website for information, www.hamsci.org. At a March 10th news conference, Amateur Radio on the International Space Station, or ARIS, reported that so far all efforts to determine what's keeping the ham station in the ISS Columbus module off the air have been unsuccessful. The radio equipment appears to be working, but no signal is reaching the external ARIS antenna. The station, typically operated as NA1SS, has not been usable since new RF cables were installed during a January 27th spacewalk. During the January spacewalk, the coax feed line installed 11 years ago was replaced with another built by the European Space Agency and Airbus. ARIS International Chair Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, did not rule out a fault in the radio equipment.
What we can tell you right now is that from all indications, the radio appears to be working as expected. You know, the radio was working fine before the EVA on the 27th of January.
Bauer listed three possible problem areas. A cable inside the cabin may have a break due to a previous tight turn, a connector may be installed improperly, or there was a problem with the installation of a cable installed in series with the ARIS antenna feed line on January 27th. A March 13th spacewalk plans to return the ARIS antenna feed line cabling to its configuration prior to the January 27th spacewalk, so the problem may have been resolved before you hear this report. This is ARRL Audio News, heard in Lewisburg, Tennessee, Mondays at 6:45 p.m. on the 146-625 repeater, courtesy of the Marshall County Amateur Radio Society. Time now for the AMSAT report. If you have worked the XW2D satellite before, you might know that it went silent for some reason. Well, this week it came back to life and is once again operational. There's no telling if this is temporary or permanent, so enjoy the satellite while it's still working. ARIS school contacts have continued through the pandemic. If the ISS is over your area when a school contact is being made, you can listen in on the astronauts' downlink on 145.8 MHz FM. Of course, the uplink is only available to the school making the contact. Keep in mind that the location of the school is not necessarily within the footprint of the ISS, which could be on the other side of the globe. AMSAT UK reports that a test of UVSQ SAT's FM transponder was made on March 5th between Michel, F4DEY, and Peter, 2M0SQL. This means the satellite is closer to commissioning for amateur use. The AMSAT report comes to us every week, courtesy of Bruce Page, KK5DO. The Volunteer Monitor Program is a joint initiative between ARRL and the FCC to enhance compliance in the amateur radio service. To date, volunteer monitors during February reported 1,762 hours monitoring the HF frequencies and 2,158 hours monitoring the VHF frequencies and above. The Volunteer Monitor Program Administrator issued 10 advisory notices. An advisory notice is an attempt to resolve rule violation issues informally before FCC intervention. Operators in Holdenville, Oklahoma, Lucerne, Michigan, Miami, Florida, and Merrick, New York received advisories concerning operation outside their license class. Operators in Megalia, California, Jefferson, Georgia, and Redway, California received advisories concerning interference to repeater systems and HF net operations. An operator in Mansfield, Arkansas received an advisory regarding failure to properly identify. An operator in Charlottesville, Virginia received an advisory concerning improper bandwidth that resulted in interference. A Desert Racing Association in Odessa, Texas received a warning about the use of amateur 2-meter frequencies for racing events. The Volunteer Monitor Program Administrator had 2 meetings during February with FCC Enforcement Bureau personnel. This is ARRL Audio News, heard in Bonham, Texas, Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on the 145.47 and 442.525 repeaters, courtesy of the Fannin County Amateur Radio Club. Ever wanted to put up a big dipole? I mean, a really big dipole? Well, Gary Watson, ZL3SV in Nelson, New Zealand, has installed a spectacular all-band dipole with each leg extending 320 meters. That's about 1,050 feet. The antenna is multiple wavelengths on HF and on 20 meters, Watson says. It has a gain of more than 16 dB. It hears quite well, too. A huge 12-to-1 ballon resembling a utility pole step-down transformer converts the impedance from 50 ohms unbalanced to 600 ohms balanced. The wire he uses for each leg is aluminum-wrapped power line cable, and he uses power line fittings because they're designed to handle that kind of wire. The line has a 60-ton breaking strength. Watson said he made the 600-ohm ladder line himself, and he uses the antenna on all bands, typically running 200 watts. Watson says he can copy stations with a monster antenna that remain undetectable with a half-wave dipole. ARRL member Bob Leo, W7LR of Bozeman, Montana, turned 100 years old on February 26. He's been a ham for 88 years and is a well-known DXer and DXpeditioner. Check out his QRZ.com profile. The dates have been posted for the 4 Stu Perry Top Band Distance Challenge events on 160 meters, if you're into that kind of thing. This year's main stew in December will occur 1 week earlier than usual on December 18th to avoid a conflict with Christmas. The schedule for this year is March 13th, June 19th, October 23rd, and December 18th. The full results of the 2020 ARRL November CW sweepstakes have been published on the ARRL contests webpage. It's contests.ARRL.org. The full results article, a searchable database of all scores, line scores, certificates, and log checking reports are available there too. The Spring 2021 Red Cross Nationwide Emergency Communications Winlink Drill will take place on May 8th, which happens to be World Red Cross and Red Crescent Day. And that's ARRL Audio News for Friday, March 12th, 2021. I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME 73, and we'll see you next time.
Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.